pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening on this Tuesday morning. 251-340-1106. We'll get to your text if you want to keep texting me about a movie. On a day like today, if you want to keep texting me about the Dinesh D'Souza movie, then so be it. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go to our next guest. He's running for Supreme Court here in Alabama, and I thought appropriate we could get him on to talk a little bit about last night's news. Obviously, if you've been sleeping under a rock, we'll get you up to date here. A Supreme Court draft opinion was leaked to Politico and indicating that the 1973 landmark Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade, would be overturned in essentially a very unprecedented act. You don't see that very often, at least. But anyway, joining us now, Greg Cook, running for state Supreme Court, on the line with us. Greg, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity to be on today.
Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. You're eminently qualified to talk about this, a little bit about this. But before we get into the actual substance of the opinion, let's talk about kind of the protocol here that was violated and why this is not something that needs to be, I think, applauded at all.
Absolutely. And I have two strong reactions to this leak, Jeff. The first is, frankly, I think all of us are incredibly happy to see Roe versus Wade, the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overruled. It's something I know that the majority of Alabamians have prayed for a very long time. It's not done yet. This opinion is, assuming it's true, is a draft opinion. Draft opinions can change over time. Votes can change over time. This has not been issued by the court, so it certainly makes things look like Roe will be overruled, but it has not been yet. So I think that the people in Alabama need to continue to pray. So that is my first reaction. Is frankly a lot of joy. Second, looking at the leak, I find it to be an outrageous act. It is nakedly political for someone, involved in the court to be leaking this to the public. And I do think this is legitimate. I think that this is a real opinion. I mean, it sounds like Justice Alito. It looks like a Justice Alito opinion. He loves to attach appendix, and he loves to have a great deal of support. He loves to bury you in detail to make sure he's proven his point. He's got an appendix that's like 30 pages in this draft opinion. The opinion is very strongly worded, that's another reason why it looks like a draft opinion, because the draft would usually start out very strong in a particular direction, and then sometimes as they try to make sure they've got all the votes locked down at the other justices, it can be polished or more consensus can develop. So it looks like a draft opinion rather than a final opinion. So I believe this is a legitimate copy. And I find it outrageous that anyone would leak such a thing. It has all kinds of terrible implications for our court system. I mean, first is that it is nakedly political. Someone leaked this, I believe, on the left, trying to intimidate the conservative justices into backing off of their opinion. And I think possibly to help the folks in Congress on the left to perhaps push an agenda of packing the court. This is outrageous. It threatens the independence of our judiciary. Our judiciary is supposed to be a place where people go and get opinions based upon the law, based upon people who are going to look at things in an impartial, unbiased way. And this is an effort to bias the results with political pressure. And I'll say it's a bad thing for public policy, too, Jeff. It undermines the confidence of our public in our judiciary. And it also, I think, threatens the ability of the court to get things right if draft opinions are going to be leaked to the public. Draft opinions are just that. They're drafts. the justices need to work through the wording. And this is a 98-page opinion. The words are going to change in the draft. That's the point of having a draft. Heck, I wrote an entire law review article when I was in law school on a footnote that Justice Scalia wrote. It is draft opinions are supposed to be the time where the court can work through the exact wording, and, you know, in law, the details always matter. So I have two reactions. One is great joy at the potential of Roe being overruled. And number two, outrage that anyone would try such a nakedly political act.
What do you think comes of that, though? Is there any, it seems like a Hail Mary pass by whoever did this. And, you know, number one, obviously to try to send some kind of a chilling effect or dissuade one of the justices and get them to flip their vote. Or could it be this, Greg? Could we be looking at, you know, the push to pack the court to be revived? I mean, you know, all these things going before, right before an election, it just seems nakedly political.
It is nakedly political. And I think all three of those possibilities are there. And the person may have mixed motives. They might be pushing to try to intimidate the justices. I think that's probably the most overwhelming motivation. Number two, they may be trying to get the Congress to take action or Congress to pressure the justices. The Congress, like you said, could pack the court. The nine people on the court, the nine number is not a magic number. It's not in the Constitution. So Congress could pass a law and change that. I think that's unlikely, but it's certainly a possibility. And then number three, like you said, I think it could be a situation where they're looking at the fall election. They think this is a campaign issue for them, and the faster they get it kicked off, the better off it is.
Well, let's talk about the leak and what should happen. I mean, do you have – well, a lot of people kind of are speculating on who might have done this, and there's a clerk, perhaps a rogue clerk, but it's not clear to me that anything maybe you violated the judicial ethics here, but is it criminal?
So I do believe this is a law clerk. I believe this is somebody that has a partisan motivation. Now, it is possible it could be a staff person. In 1979, there were some leaks from somebody who was worked in the print shop for the court. There are staff people that work in the court, but it is usually a very closely held group, particularly at the draft opinion stage. I would think it's very unlikely that a justice leaked this opinion. It would be such an outrageous breach of ethics. These justices have to live with each other for decades. It would cause such a breakdown in the ability to just speak with your fellow justices. I just can't imagine that a justice arranged this breach. Therefore, I point my finger at clerks. I think a law clerk has done this. I think this is, when President Trump was in the White House, the left had their motto, which was resist. And this is another effort of resisting in any way they think they can get away with. And I find this to be an outrageous breach of their duty. There is a rumor out there on Twitter that I cannot verify that this was a law clerk to Justice Sotomayor. I think that, anything's possible. You would think that it would be a left-leaning clerk. It is possible. You could argue, well, the opinion was slipping away from the right, and therefore a conservative leaked this to lock the conservative justices into their position. I find that to be ridiculous. To me, it's pretty certain it's a left clerk and somebody who is trying to nakedly politically push the conservatives on the court to back off. And pointing out which clerk it is on the court is very difficult to do.
You mentioned something kind of interesting, the relationship between the justices and what if this were even if it is a clerk and maybe it was kind of, you know, there was a green light or something or a hint that this was something to do by a justice, but it's going to create problems among the justices. Do you think that there's just going to be perhaps the trust is going to be damaged between the justices going forward?
I think it will, and in oral argument on the Dobbs case, in this case, there was a discussion by Justice Kagan trying to argue that if Roe versus Wade was overruled, that it would diminish greatly the public's perception of the court. So this has been a talking point of the left, and this is just another effort, I think, to bolster that talking point that the overruling of Roe versus Wade is a political act, and that the conservatives are just being political. And I fundamentally reject that argument. I believe that the conservatives in that core are trying to follow the Constitution, and I believe the same thing that Judge Bill Pryor believes when he was being interviewed. He was having his Judiciary Committee hearing in the Senate. He said, and I quote, Roe was a political decision with no basis in the plain language of the Constitution. And I believe that's what those conservative justices believe in their heart. They're not making a political decision. They're making a textualist, originalist decision. And if you read the draft opinion by Justice Alito, it's pretty compelling. And there's a lot of academic literature out there, even from the left, that criticizes the intellectual foundations of Roe versus Wade. It's really very difficult to support the Roe versus Wade argument. There have been proposed some other arguments to try to support Roe. Maybe Roe is based upon a due process argument, that there's some sort of penumbra that grows out of the due process clause. And that argument, to me, is impossible to produce, to support. I've heard an argument made. There's an equal protection argument to be made. I reject that argument, and so does Justice Alito's opinion. So I believe that Roe was a political decision, and I believe that, which is what Judge Pryor says, and I believe that. I believe that the conservative judges, justices on the court, are trying to apply the text of the Constitution.
Joined by Greg Cook, he's running for Alabama Supreme Court. We got it for just a few more minutes here. Let's talk about this, a post-Roe landscape in this country where states are determining what the abortion law is. I know where we're going in Alabama. I get the sense the legislature will act. Nathaniel Ledbetter, the majority leader in the House, has already issued a statement saying as much. What about some of these more liberal states? You know, we do have a framework on abortion federally. Just you know, how, you know, what limits you have to it. Could we see if this decision struck down that in some states they take it in the other direction?
I think we're going to see a spectrum of results, Jeff. So as you say, if Roe is overruled under the federal constitution, the decision goes back to the states, which is frankly where it should be. The states are where the people can vote. The states are where the legislators can make decisions based upon what the people want them to do. And in Alabama, we already actually have a law. There's an injunction pending, but we have a law. I could imagine another law being passed very quickly in Alabama. Of course, you still have to make sure that law complies with the Alabama Constitution. And so in some states, you could imagine a result where the legislature passes a law and the state Supreme Court strikes it down under the state constitution. You know, that varies by state. It's going to vary by the provisions in their constitution. Then you can imagine some states where they pass laws that say, okay, past 15 weeks, we're not going to have abortions, or we're not going to have partial birth abortions, or we're going to have restrictions on minors getting abortions. So we're going to see a whole spectrum, and some states are going to fall on one end of it, like Alabama, and other states are going to fall at a different end of it, like perhaps California and New York. You will also see people who will be traveling from one state to another to to get abortions. And then there's the issue of the abortion pill that the FDA has recently changed the rules about. So you can see attempts to be able to send that by mail into different states. And then I'm certain that the pharmacy boards in the various states will get involved there. So it will create a great deal of litigation, but the litigation will be different. It will be state-based litigation, and there will be a wide variety of results.
Greg, we're up against a break, but folks want to find out more about your campaign. Tell them where they can look.
Thank you. It's Greg Cook, and I'm running for the Supreme Court. Cook for Court is my website, and Greg Cook for Supreme Court is my Facebook page. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I promise folks that they will get a justice who will rule according to the rule of law and not legislate from the bench with me.
Greg Cook, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The cheap hotel, there's this quiet. Cleveland's cold, so the story ends, we're told. Pontonese.